This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I mean, we are halfway home already on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. This show is flying by. Knock on wood that it continues to fly by. Busy, busy day ahead. I got a client lunch with my beloved EcoWater friends. I'm going to sit by the ocean, have a delicious meal, hopefully that I don't have to pay for. Our boss is going to be there.
Oh, you are not.
I'm not
paying for
it.
The check.
Okay, I don't pay for this.
No,
they're our client.
Oh, Odyssey should pay for it, but not you.
Well, I work at Odyssey.
You do, but you don't take out your personal credit card to pay for a client lunch.
Isn't that kind of a baller move?
No, stupid move.
Yeah, I'm with Ben on this one.
All right. Now you know I'm quick to.
Don't even try. Well, don't make a move at all for the check.
So my move is, well, I'm Woodsy, that's Paulie, that's Ben, and we're getting something here in a minute. So hold your horses, Jordan. We had this conversation yesterday off the air. I'm quick to want to wrap things up. I am this guy at dinner or lunch. All right, that's it. Like, I am out the door. I want to eat. I don't want to visit, really. I just want to eat. Let's get down to business. And then it's time to hit the road, Jack. So I'm the guy usually that reaches for his wallet, not because I'm super generous. I'm generous, but I'm also, I want to get it going. And if I see the waiter, I'm like, just take this. Just do it. Run it.
Because as much as I'd like it to be a thing, hey, could you bring him the check is not a statement you ever want to make.
Yes, exactly. I can't grab the waiter
Could you bring him the check?
Could you bring him the check ASAP? And you, by the way, that I'm referring to, dig your hand in your wallet. Get your credit card out. Let's go. I can't do that.
Let's go.
My boss is there.
Yeah,
the client's like, I have
you're
to.
You're going to have to wait.
I'm kind of at their.
You're kind of at their
at
time.
Their mercy.
Their timeline for this lunch.
Now, I went out to a dinner on Friday night, and I picked up the tab, and it stung.
Yeah, you told us. You went to Bob's.
I'm going to tell you, it stung. But you said, well, why didn't you guys just split it? And I said, because my meal was a little more expensive than theirs. We got the same amount of drinks and all that, but my meal was a little bit more expensive. I wanted to try that flight of fillets, and it was worth it. It was delicious. And I ended up picking up the whole tab because I didn't want to do at a fancy, nice restaurant is say, all right, I had this, she had this, and they had this. Can you whack that up? And I didn't feel comfortable splitting it down the middle. I feel like if you're going to be the one that overorders at the restaurant, you get more expensive stuff.
Splitting it down the salad, so I'll let you pick that one up.
Splitting down the middle, if I got a more expensive entree, that doesn't seem fair to them to split it right down the middle. So I just, all right, I'll wear this one. So I did. It's tough because I do like to move it along.
Have you ever done credit card roulette?
Oh, it's one of my favorite games of all time.
Where you got a group of eight people.
It's the best and the worst.
Put them in
the middle.
A bag or whatever.
Have the waiter
just pick one out random, and they pick up the entire tab for the table. So you got a 7 out of 8 chance of not paying anything. but a 1 of 8 chance of paying for a gigantic, gigantic tab at the end of the meal.
Well, and the rules of credit card, when you're playing credit card roulette, it's decided before the meal. So people are like, I'll take the Cristal, and I want your most expensive bourbon, and I'll take that steak and lobster, because that's just the rule. Like, you go nuts.
Because you feel like, I've got a 7 of 8 chance that I'm not having to pay for this.
Yeah.
But you do have that 1 in 8 chance. And bro, it could be all on you.
When I was a rookie seller in radio, I made, I think it was on $2,000 a month draw, plus I got commission. I mean, I made no money. Me, three of the older sellers that I became really good friends with went out to dinner. Hey, we're going to do a gentleman's night out. We're going to go out and hit the bars after. I said, all right. Hey, by the way, Woodsy, we do credit card roulette here. I said, oh, okay. I wanted to be part of the team. Same restaurant in Dallas, Bob's. And we sit down, and I'm telling you, it was bourbon, it was champagne, it was creme brulee, it was the whole thing.
This story ends in anything but you
that
losing.
That SOB.
I would be shocked.
That SOB pulled my card, and the panic that I felt on that $1,200 dinner or whatever, I wanted to die. It was all the money I had in the... It was like, I had $1,215 in my bank account, and the meal was, you know, with tip was $1,200 or something. And I looked at my one buddy knew, and he's like, don't worry, I got your drinks tonight. I was like, oh, great, fantastic. Should be fun. I had $15 for 2 weeks. I think I had to pawn a guitar after that or something. It was so bad, dude. It was so bad.
All right, I was... I'm not looking forward to this. I've already paid off the bet. We bet our Tier 1 Jordan in North Carolina, big Tar Heels fan, and his wife Danielle. $30, $20 to Jordan, yep. $10 to Danielle.
We all paid up.
And I also said Jordan could call in. But keep in mind, Jordan, no one in San Diego really wants to hear from you.
Correct. No one
morning,
cares.
So keep it short. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing fine.
It's all right.
Fine.
The team played extremely well last night. I mean,
you guys were awesome.
Extremely
dude.
Well last night.
See, my thing is, obviously, with you guys, it's all in fun. Just 100% all in fun. I love you guys to death.
We love you, buddy.
Honestly, I've been waiting for this matchup to happen for a few years because I knew the back and forth would be fun with us whenever we got to have it. So that's been fun. But last night was honestly just about all the national people that said we didn't belong.
True.
We've been listening to it. We've had to deal with it. And it didn't matter who was on the other side of the court. That just felt really good to tell all those people, hey, you said we didn't belong. Well, take this.
It's only one game.
I know.
It's the best part of sports.
That's a heck of a start.
That's the best part of sports.
It was the one thing that worried me the most about
course,
the matchup.
Winning,
I mean, this is a North Carolina team that is going to be so motivated in this game.
Winning a game is awesome. Winning any game is awesome. But when people tell you you did not deserve to win, you did not deserve to be there, and you go out and not only win, they didn't hit a buzzer beater. That's a
butter beater.
It was a butter beater.
What is a butter beater? A buzzer beater. They didn't hit a buzzer beater to win the game. They absolutely dominated and embarrassed the San Diego State Aztecs. It gives you that win is more than just a win. And man, you guys played incredible.
Well, thank you, sir. But here's my thing. So I get what people are saying. You know, throughout the whole season, you'll get the whole overall metrics. Fine. We didn't have the quad wins, this, that, and the other. But if I'm them, I want to put in a team that is going into the tournament hot. I know November, December, January, we weren't that good, obviously. But we figured it out. We've turned it around, and now we're on a run here. We've won 9 of our last 11 games. So it's like, aren't those the teams that you would like to see in the tournament? Just like I can't stand them, but NC State last year, you know, they went on a massive run after being mediocre the whole season, and look what happened to them. Got all the way to the Final Four.
It is weird,
so it too.
Because
like that to get hot.
It is weird,
that makes you want to watch.
It is weird because, you know, you look at the Aztecs' resume, and you're like, man, they had this nice resume from 4 months ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The biggest wins like
they
4 months ago.
They played their best basketball long ago.
Yeah.
And have been playing, you know, some of their worst basketball at the end of the season. Jordan makes a good point.
He does.
I mean, for entertainment value, North Carolina's playing really well. I imagine there's going to be a couple of really good games.
I wasn't very entertained by last night's game, to be honest with you.
Not entertaining at all. The only entertainment I have is I hope Jordan's tired because he had to stay up until like midnight to watch the end of that game.
Oh, yeah.
I will agree, though, and I heard Scott Van Pelt say this last night on SportsCenter, that he believes North Carolina didn't deserve to be in the tournament, but he also picked them to go to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Because he knew once they got in, they'd be an incredibly dangerous team. One is not necessarily related to the other.
Yeah.
They didn't earn their way in, but absolutely, now that they're in, they're certainly a worthy opponent in the NCAA tournament. Both things can be true at the same time. All right. Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, buddy. We love you.
Enjoy. You know, have a nice lunch on Ben and Woods today.
Yeah.
And we will, we'll look forward to the rematch.
It looks like I picked up another tab today for Jordan's
lunch.
There
you go. Yeah, not, see quite, you, buddy. Not quite $1,200 at least.
No.
But thanks, Jordan. Anyway, yeah, it's a bummer of a way for the season to end for San Diego State. However, it wasn't a bad season. It really wasn't. I'm going to die on that. It wasn't a bad season at all.
It was.
It wasn't.
I'm going to sit back. It's usually me arguing with somebody. I'm going to sit back and watch you two go at it.
It was not a good season. You had such high hopes with your non-conference wins and the big games that you won there. And then you got into conference play. You were dropping games at home that you absolutely should have won. You won some games that you had to have 24-0 runs to even survive against, like, a San Jose State. You lost the teams that you should have beat on the road.
I like his points, Ben, like, very much.
It was not a good year. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again, like, for me personally, as a fan of the San Diego State basketball team, the bar has been raised. It doesn't matter. I don't change the bar year to year. This is a team that has made it to several Sweet 16s. They were in the championship game a couple of years ago. Sweet 16 is the bar. If you want to call it the round of 32, fine. Get in, win a game, and go from there, because it's madness. Right? Like, anything can happen in the tournament, but you got to get in there, you got to do some damage.
I mean, was last year a good year then when they got to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, it was a better year than this year.
Because they lost games that they should have won.
They got to the Sweet 16. You get a t-shirt. You can go buy a t-shirt. It's a Sweet
16. To the Sweet 16, but who did they beat in the NCAA? They beat Alabama Birmingham by 4 points in a game they should have really won by a lot more. And then they got to play Yale, who was terrible. And then they got absolutely obliterated by UConn. I mean, if they had played UConn in the first round last year, they would have gotten obliterated. This time they played a really good North Carolina team in the first round. They got obliterated. It kind of matters, like, when you play a team, and that can't define your whole season. Last year's team would have lost in North Carolina last night, too. I don't think last year's team was so much better, even though they made it to the Sweet 16, that they would have changed the outcome of the game last night. North Carolina was going to beat just about anybody last night.
Yeah, I agree.
The way they played. Yeah. So your season would have ended with a totally different team. I don't even know that the national championship team would have won that game last night. North Carolina played well,
yeah,
in that game. And you can't define your entire season necessarily by how you do in a one-off game in an NCAA tournament.
Look, I mean, sports is different for every single person. Every single person has a different perspective on it. That's what makes it maddening. And that's what makes it really fun as well.
Very true. Woods.
And you can deal with, like, for me, I've always used the Notre Dame example, right? That's such a good example for me. You guys said, hey, Woods, you don't get super upset about, you know, ND games anymore. And I said, no, I kind of know what to expect. I'm going to get my 10 wins and I'm going to play in a bowl game and be happy. Now, last year was a little different. Made it to the national championship game. Stuck around, hung in there a little bit. We're close at the end, close-ish. After getting just severely outplayed and outmanned, it changed. I'm with kind of Paulie now. Like, I expect a better season next year. I expect to get back there, right? Like, build on that momentum. So, and I get it, man. It's different for each person, but
San Diego State was barely ranked at all year.
Yeah.
Like, that's
not good.
That goes with San Diego State.
They lost 90% of their scoring from last season. They had to replace their entire team. It's not pro sports where you can sign a guy to an 8-year contract and keep them together. It does require, even top programs will have a cycle. Will they have, you know, a good season and then they lose a lot of players. And yeah, you can rebuild quicker with NIL, but it's not instantaneous. Every team, every program goes through some little ups and downs. This was always going to be a more of a down season for San Diego State. And even in their down season, they got to the NCAA tournament. That's the sign that your program is doing the right thing.
In the right direction.
Is going in the right direction. I see so many people saying, oh, this Aztecs team going in the wrong direction. They went from national championship to Sweet 16.
I wouldn't agree. I wouldn't
out
that
in the first far. Round. I don't
think Brian Dutcher needs to get fired or anything like that, but it was a disappointing season.
Question now for you, the big question that's out there. Should you have donated to the Mesa Foundation? Mm. Could it have made the difference?
How many games did you go to pay tickets for?
These are just...
I mean...
You just want to complain with no solution.
Do you feel like that they needed different players this year? I liked the players they had this year.
Say that.
I would not have replaced necessarily the players.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good season.
Maybe you could have financially incentivized them more.
Help keep Lamont Butler around?
Maybe. It's something to mull over.
Micah Parrish didn't make the tournament at Ohio State. They got left out.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Something to mull over.
I don't know.
Maybe next year it'll be different. Reach for that wallet a little quicker. Okay?
Maybe we'll play NIL roulette. Just put all cards
all right, one of us making a $1,000 donation. Who's it going to be?
The program.
Saw somebody mentioned in the chat. I didn't see who it was, but they mentioned UCSD. Like, UCSD, they could lose by 35 points.
Does not matter.
To Michigan.
Does not matter.
They had a good season.
They had a good season.
Because I don't think they had, maybe they in their locker room did, but I don't think Tritons fans had very many high Sweet 16 hopes.
Correct.
For this season, heading into their first year of eligibility. Getting into the tournament for them, that's a huge accomplishment.
Huge.
San Diego State, you expect to get to the tournament.
But at the same time,
you expect
Paulie,
to win a game.
Yes, at the level of the programs, this is an unbelievably successful season for UCSD. I've been of the opinion, and I've said this for a couple of months now, UCSD is a better team than San Diego State.
Oh, one of our better wins, it turned out to be.
If they had met any time other than the first game of the season, I don't know that San Diego State wins that game. UCSD has always been kind of the story this year in San Diego, and they've always had the better chance, in my mind, of moving on in the NCAA tournament. So if you want to put your focus somewhere, the Tritons are a great place to do it. Now, they have even a less chance. Next year, they lose everybody. They're going to lose their coach almost certainly.
They
don't have NIL money to replace. This is kind of a one-off.
Go for it. Yeah.
No, maybe I'll be wrong, and you know, they'll defy expectations and get a bunch of other Division II transfers who are going to come in and dominate the way they have. But it's unlikely. This is probably, you know, a rare occurrence at this stage for UCSD. Celebrate it and enjoy it. But they're a legit team. A more legit team than San Diego State was this year, in my opinion.
I agree.
We'll see how they do against Michigan, because that's a tough matchup for anybody. But I wish them luck, and we'll be excited to watch them tomorrow night. All right, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. Our musical trivia challenge on a Wednesday is coming up next with a chance to qualify for Las Vegas. 833-288-0973. Call in now. Get in line. We will play our game next. 833-288-0973. It's Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
All right, Wednesday, middle of the week. Kind of the blah day. Yet at 7 Mile Casino, you can go at any time, any day of the week, and find phenomenal card action, high stakes Texas Hold'em poker, high stakes California style blackjack, right there, just minutes from downtown San Diego in an upscale environment.
Yep, there's lots of love about 7 Mile Casino. The people, they'll take such good care of you. Oh, it's at the grocery store yesterday. Guy behind me in line had a 7 Mile Casino shirt on.
Oh, cool.
And I said, oh, do you work at 7 Mile? He goes, no, I play a lot of poker there. He goes, I love it. It's it's my favorite environment to go to. He said, I played in the one up in Oceanside last night. He goes, it's not even close.
Not.
Yesterday that happened to me at Vaughn's, my beloved Vaughn's. And I was talking to him he said, everything about it is cool.
The people have spoken.
They have spoken.
7 Mile is the place to play. You don't have to drive 45 minutes or more out into the East County and back. You're sitting down quickly. You're enjoying a great meal at Sammy's. The patio is fantastic. TV's all over the place. It is just your place to play cards. It's ours. Make it yours as well. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. You ready for a little Take on Woods?
Yeah, why not?
Feeling good about it? You won yesterday.
I won yesterday. Got blanked on Monday.
You got blanked on Monday. Best 2 out of 3 to start the week.
The rubber match, as it were.
We got a contestant on the line. Let's get to it. It is time for a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods.
I think Joe was the first to get in. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Joe. Welcome to Take on Woods. You sound excited.
Just nursing that loss from last night.
All right, fair enough. I'm feeling it as well. All right, well, you know, this will make you feel better. A chance to win a trip to Las Vegas if you can beat or tie Woods. Put you into the drawing for our grand prize. 2 tickets to Alanis Morissette at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace. A 2-night stay at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino. And a $100 gas card. You can see Ticketmaster.com to get your own Alanis Morissette tickets. All right, here are the categories today. We still have This Ends Tonight. 5-song titles ending in the word tonight. The End Is Now, 1970s edition. 5-song titles from the 70s that end in the word now. And our new category, Call Me Al. 5-song titles that begin with the letters A, L. So This Ends Tonight, The End Is Now, 1970s, or Call Me Al. Joe, what would you like to play?
This Ends Tonight.
This Ends Tonight. All right, as in each of today's 5-song titles ends with the word tonight. You'll go first, 60 seconds, 5 questions. You can pass. We'll come back to it if you have time left on the clock. First question is our 2-second song. Polly will play the music. He's queuing it up now. You need to give me the song title ending in tonight and the artist to score that point. Joe, are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Polly, you good to go? All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock in the category This Ends Tonight. Joe? Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods. Correct. Which debut solo single for Phil Collins features a legendary drum break 3 minutes and 41 seconds into the song?
In the Air Tonight.
Correct. Which 1978 hit by Eric Clapton was once voted one of the 10 most overplayed wedding songs of all time?
Wonderful Tonight.
Correct. KC and the Sunshine Band ask you to do a little dance and make a little love in which funky 1975 hit?
Get Down Tonight.
Correct. Glenn Frey got Bob Seger on the phone to help come up with the chorus for which 1979 song that turned into the final number one hit for the Eagles?
Heartache Tonight.
Oh, dang, Joe. That was a good performance. 5 for 5. And you are in for the drawing for Las Vegas. It just is up to Woods to see if it's a tie or an outright victory today. Joe's a good player. He's understated. He's got that cool, calm demeanor. All right, Joe's score is locked in. You better be locked in as well. All right, let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods does this without the category. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Joe. It's in excess.
I'll come back to it.
Which debut solo single for Phil Collins
features... Need You Tonight. Sorry.
Correct.
Need
Which
You Tonight.
Debut solo single for Phil Collins features a legendary drum break, 3 minutes and 41 seconds.
In the Air Tonight.
Correct. Which 1978 hit by Eric Clapton was...
Wonderful Tonight.
Correct. KC and the Sunshine Band ask you to do a little dance and make a little love in which funky 1975 hit.
Get Down Tonight.
Correct. Glenn Frey got Bob Seger on the phone to help come up with the chorus for which 1979 song that turned into the final number one hit for the Eagles.
One of These Nights.
No!
Oh!
It's not!
No?
And that is the difference as Joe wins at 5-4.
Hold on.
Gonna be a
heartache tonight.
Tonight. Not nights. Tonight. This Ends Tonight was the category. Joe was going to go into the drawing either way, but he gets the win 5-4 over Woods. A little, yet time. A little fast on that one. Would you think you would have... If you thought about it, or do you think now?
That was your answer?
I think that was going to be my
that
answer.
That was going to be your answer.
It was the final song when we saw the Eagles at the Sphere.
Oh, was it?
And we skipped out on it, so I blame my wife and kids.
Yeah, my favorite Eagles
we
songs.
Left.
Heartache They're Tonight. Both really yeah. good songs, yeah, really actually.
Like but I like One of These Nights a lot.
Both good songs.
I don't like this. Gonna me. No, I don't, never like that
one as much.
I like One of These Nights. Damn it, mother. 5-4. It's a good game, though.
Good game.
Slug
Joe,
test.
Well done. Joe is... an assassin.
Yeah.
He's just...
Got me.
He's cold-blooded. He's a good player.
Well though. Done, Joe.
Well done, Joe. Stand the line, Paulie. I'll put you into the drawing for our trip to Las Vegas. All right, Sammy is off. I believe he's
skiing.
Skiing, Flagstaff. Flagstaff, Arizona.
I like that.
Today on the day off for the San Diego Padres. But he's left us with a little present.
A little nug for us.
An interview with Jeremiah Estrada, Padres relief pitcher, the inventor of the chitter. We will hear from Jeremiah Estrada with Sammy Levitt when we come back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about trust and will. Not a subject that you probably you spend a lot of time thinking about. In fact, if you are a young parent, the majority of young parents have not designated any sort of guardian for their children in a legal document. But it's very simple to do at trustandwill.com.
You know, man, it's the springtime, and it's kind of a time for everybody to get their house in order. You know, spring cleaning, things like that. This is an important thing that you need to do. You got to avoid probate, too, if you pass away. You need to get a trust. There's no reason not to just get it done in 20 minutes online. All the directions you need right there, super affordable as well. Make sure you have a guardian selected for your children. Don't leave your kids' lives to chance. It's just something that you need to do it. And stop putting it off.
And if you do it today and go to trustandwill.com and use our code, our new code, FAN, at checkout, you're going to get 20% off. They're already way lower prices than going to a lawyer and doing this at a law office. They're trying to make this simple, affordable for everybody, because everybody needs a trust and or a will to make your wishes known. So go to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com. Yeah, keeping our fingers crossed for you, Darvish's elbow. Mike Schilt saying yesterday, dealing with some inflammation, did not rule him out for the start of the season. But also
said could delay
his opening to the year. Did not confirm whether or not he would receive an MRI, but there was enough speaking around the question that I would tend to think that they probably are going to get some imaging. He said, well, the medical staff is going to make that determination and whether or not to tell you what's going on with you, Darvish, which I think was just kind of a way for him to avoid the question a little bit. Nothing inherently bad about getting an MRI. It just makes you think that they feel like it could be more serious. So we'll see, though. It's day off for the Padres today, so don't expect any updates until at least tomorrow. And they've got a night game tomorrow against the Texas Rangers. So it will be probably not until tomorrow afternoon that we hear anything new on you, Darvish, or any other injury updates for your San Diego Padres. With the day off, as we mentioned, Sammy Levitt is on his way to a Flagstaff for a little skiing today, a well-deserved bit of R&R here.
I always forget that you can ski in Arizona. I forget about that entirely.
Yeah, yeah, they got whole mountains and snow. Yeah. Beautiful country up there for sure. But Sammy's not at the complex today, but he did get a chance to speak with Jeremiah Estrada from the Padres bullpen, not one of the guys we were able to talk to when we were out there a little while ago. So let's bring it to you. Here's our Sam Levitt talking to Padres relief pitcher Jeremiah Estrada.
Sam Levitt here of the Padres Radio Network and 97.3 The Fan. And right now I'm joined by Padres reliever Jeremiah Estrada. And Jeremiah, what a difference a year makes. I feel like last spring training got to know you a little bit. You were a new face inside the clubhouse, battling to make the team, and not only did you end up making the team, but you end up emerging as one of the top relievers for this Padres team in 2024. Let's talk about this past year. How would you sort of sum up what the experience has been like, both on and off the field?
More than anything, it's just been a blessing. You know, with my faith, you know, I couldn't have done it without my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was just like the fact of, let alone changing to a team that has a bunch of veterans, the staff, and yet alone just being close to home. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of crazy to just think about what happened last year, you know. But absolutely blessed to just be a part of this organization, to be a part of the team, to be surrounded by all the great guys that we have in the clubhouse. And just with my success last year, you know, I just give all the thanks to just our catchers. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even think I shucked more than 10 times that entire year, you know. And I think it's just the best thing to have is your relationship with your catchers and the trust that you could have. And, you know, and I mean, they called the pitches, you know. And if you guys did see me shake, it's probably because it's part of the sign. But, oh yeah, all credit to them, man. You know, they're just beasts out there, and they do what they can to make us feel do good.
In your mind, because you mentioned catchers, what makes a really successful relationship between pitcher and catcher?
Trust. Yeah. That's the biggest thing, you know, throughout the minors, throughout even high school. You know, I think the number one as a pitcher is to have a relationship or to kind of have a sort of on page, on the same page kind of mindset with the catcher yourself, you know, because no one's going to know the game better than that guy. You know, and as now being a reliever, you know, coming in the back nine or the back eight, the back end of the bullpen. You just go in there and be like, all right, you know what you're supposed to throw. But this guy knows how the game's going, you know, and I'm just like full on, like, whatever you got, bro, I'm in. I've never touched a button on my side, you know, and I think that's the biggest part is just having faith and trust in that catch. And if things don't work out, all right, he got a hit off of it. Whatever, turn the guy, let's get the next guy. That's it.
Jeremiah, off the field, you know, we talk about last year and you showing up as a new face. Off the field, how has it changed for you? Just as far as the San Diego community, do you get recognized a lot more? How much has your life changed in the last year away from the baseball field?
A lot. You know, I think growing up, everybody wants to be known. Everybody wants to be kind of their names called out, you know, stuff like that, you know, seeing Tatis and all these fans, you know, that's sick. And I think every single person would like that, you know, and growing up, I've always told myself that, you know, I've never really idolized other players growing up. I've always told myself I wanted to be a big leaguer, but never told myself I want to be just like that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always wanted to have my own version, and I'm kind of becoming what my version was as a kid.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. You know, you walk around and I'm just like, hey, that's a shot. I'm like, you recognize me, you know, like, it's pretty weird, you know, but beyond blessed and just grateful, you know, my girlfriend and I, we love it, and sometimes we hate it, because sometimes it could be a bit extreme,
right?
But that's just part of it, you know, and I'm not ever disappointed in it, you know, and I love every single bit of it, and it's hard to say no to fans who just want autographs from me, you know, because I was a fan once.
Jeremiah, when I think about last year, there were a lot of great moments, great images, but I'll tell you, one of the moments that really sticks in my mind is you breaking the strikeout record, everybody cheering for you as you stood outside the dugout after a Padres win. I mean, it was really a remarkable moment and so cool to see you accomplish that. During the offseason, did you think about that 13 straight strikeout run and how special that was?
Yeah, you know, I think that was the time to kind of enjoy it more.
Yeah.
You know, during the season, I think even just going into that, you know, the 10th strikeouts or whatever, it's just it's not really on my mind.
Yeah.
You know, every day is another day to kind of get the most important job of the day, which is to be dominant,
right.
Sorry, which is to dominate and to get the win.
Yeah.
You know, to come in and do what I can, what I could do for the team. But towards the end of the year, it's kind of crazy when people bring it up and just like, dude, how was it? How was it? I'm like, it's cool. It's cool. You know, I was more focused on, you know, we got the win. And it's just honestly still hard to believe. That's honestly a thing. To me, it just feels like, you know, I did my job.
Right.
But to people, it's, you know, it's a history book. But like I said, you know, honestly, I give all credit due to where it's due to the catchers. It's just a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, until this day, you know, people show me the cards. I'm like, damn, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like you come back from being a kid, always hoping for your card, and you know what, now you have a card, but it's about you breaking a record, you know, and
really
to this day, I don't think I'll ever really forget that and cherish this moment.
So we've talked about last season, we've talked about the off season, now going into your second year in San Diego, obviously a lot of things contributed to your success, the chitter, maybe specifically, what was your goal this off season and coming into this year? What were areas that you saw that still could use improvement?
Honestly, I just kind of, you know, I don't know. You know, I want things to kind of be the same.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always improvements. I think the idea of the improvements was just to get more work in, more harder work in. You know, I took the sacrifice to just kind of not be home, my hometown, which is only 2 hours away. But I stood in San Diego and just got to work with the best training staff that we have and the strength coaches that we have, you know. Just stood home, you know, and just wanted to just show them that I'm all in to just the team for next year. You know, I don't take losing lightly as well.
Yeah.
You know, I always want to be I like to win, you know, and no matter what it is, you know, you and I can go out and race right now for 60 yards. And if you beat me, I'm going to be mad. So, but it's just kind of getting that competitive mindset, you know, at the end of the game, this game's like 80% mentality, mental, you know, and kind of just getting the game right, you know, getting, of course, I wanted to have a six pack and all, but it's like, you know what, like I felt healthy last year.
Yeah.
That's the first year I've ever had that many innings. You know, I didn't want to really do too much. I wanted to take my time off, kind of get some rest in and, you know, just get ready for the next year and just get to work. You know, I think we've kept things the same. It kind of just, I think at this point, the most thing that I'm worried about, which is how my career has been, is just healthiness. That's about it.
You said you like to win. Obviously, it was a terrific regular season for you, terrific regular season for the team. I know the ending of last year was not what this group collectively wanted, obviously, with how it ended. What sort of impact did that have on you last year, the way things ended in your mindset heading into this year?
Kind of just felt like a right hook. You know, you it's an expectation that you kind of feel like the team was there, that was the team to win it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, of course, at the end of the day, it's just baseball. You know, some things are going to happen. You know, it could be pitching cannot work or hitting cannot work. At the end of the day, it's either or. You know, they had a good – you know, they beat us at the game, you know, and unfortunately it was who it was, you know, and me growing up liking that team, now I despise that team, so now I hate it. And, like, I think that just created more of, like, I'm not gonna lie, this offseason, if I'm working out, and most of the, like, kind of like, okay, you know, everybody's got that lazy day, you know, like, I don't want to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I just watch a video of them winning, a video of them talking after. And using that as, all right, I'll see you next year. Right? You know, like, kind of just like that, you know, because, like, it's the same thing as, like, you know, I lost a CIF high school championship, you know, and from there on, it's always been, like, at some point, I'll get my revenge. At some point, I'll get my revenge. Because I'm big on revenge. You know, I'm big on, like, sports-wise. Sports-wise. You know, you football, you laid me out, I'm going to lay you out and make sure you don't get up. You know, that's how I was. But I think we're all like that. We're all hungry right now to kind of get our revenge back, to just be dominant again this year. And, you know, we got our chip on our shoulder right now, and we're ready to go to war.
Jeremiah, it's been wonderful to watch your journey over the last year or so. Good luck with everything this coming season, and we'll be sure to catch up with you during the course of the year. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Reformed Dodgers fan Jeremiah Estrada with Sammy Lovett. You know, we've had a few tier ones who said they used to be Dodgers fans and they've joined the Padres family.
Sure.
I don't personally know of anyone who's gone the other direction. Like, longtime Padres fan, but now I'm a Dodgers fan. I really don't know anybody. I'm sure it exists, but have you ever met someone who was like a diehard Padres fan and changed their allegiance to the Dodgers?
My 4-year-old likes to do it as a bit. And my father-in-law is a Dodger fan, and so he is smart. He's kissing up to him, and he likes to say "Go Dodgers," and then his older brother beats the S out of him every time he says it. So now, anytime, like last night, he goes, Taylor goes, "Who are you rooting for?" I said, "The guy's in white," and he goes, "Go Blue," like that. He's that kid. Every family has one. The black sheep, and that's my 4-year-old.
Jeremiah Estrada, by the way, one of the most under-the-radar great pickups of A.J. Preller's tenure.
100%.
A waiver claim from the Chicago Cubs, who let him go for nothing. And the Padres pick up a key member of their bullpen. Speaking of pickups, had a couple of notable names actually signed yesterday, very late in spring training. We can get to that baseball news after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. The Texas Rangers dealing with a couple of injuries to their pitching staff. Not Jacob deGrom, for once. He actually is healthy. This is John Gray, who's on the 60-day injured list. And Cody Bradford, lefty, was shut down and will start the season on the injured list. They needed another starter, so yesterday they signed veteran left-hander Patrick Corbin to a 1-year contract. I didn't see the numbers on the deal. I'm guessing he's getting less than the 6 years, $140 million he just got for the Washington Nationals to be, honestly, one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball the last few years. But he is a veteran. He tends to eat some innings. And if that's what the Rangers are looking for, they'll get it with Patrick Corbin on a 1-year deal.
He's one of those guys, you know exactly what you're in store for, about a 5 ERA and 200 innings. You know what I mean? Like, and if you value that, and I think a lot of teams do, but he had a 562 last year with the Washington Nationals.
But pitched 174 and 2/3 innings.
Yeah. I mean, he
takes the ball every fifth day.
Takes it, goes out there, chews him up, gives you a chance to stay in the ball game. 180 the year before that, 150, 170, 202, 200, 189, 155. I mean, the dude goes out and shoves.
And with DeGrom and Eovaldi in your rotation, you've got to feel like, okay, we're going to probably need some innings from someone.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they're not the most quality of innings, they're taking it with Patrick Corbin. So it's a guy we talked about, you know, as the Padres were looking for another starter. They landed on Nick Pivetta, which is obviously was more expensive, but an upgrade, but not someone that I was totally opposed to at least discussing.
I can't get my head around the Texas Rangers yet. You know, I just can't. I like them, but there's so many unknowns on that team. And I like, you know, they won the World Series, or they were, they won the World Series a couple years ago. Had that down year. I fully expect them to compete in that division. The Astros kind of aren't what they were. They're an interesting team to me. They're a very interesting team. But I can't get my finger on, like, what are they going to be? Are they going to be good? Are they going to be bad? What are they going to be?
They're going to be good. Bruce Bochy is good every other year.
Every other year, yeah.
I 96, mean, Padres, good. 97, not good. 98, good. 99, not good. Giants win the World Series every other year.
Yeah.
Rangers won the World Series 2 years ago. Not good last year. They obviously will be good this year.
It's truly one
It's just math, Woods.
It's truly one of the weirdest things ever. It just makes no sense. It's like, who was the guy that hit like 240 on the nose for like five straight years? It was I can see him in my face. I can see him in my mind's eye. Just one of those weird baseball things. Bruce Bochy in every other year is
that was that.
Good. Who was that? It was an Oakland.
I know
Oakland
who you're
A.
talking about too.
It was an A. Was it Simeon? I can't remember. But he hit like 240 on the nose like five straight years. It was just crazy.
Meanwhile, veteran former Padre Craig Kimbrell agreed to a minor league deal with
Chris
the Atlanta.
Davis.
Ah, there
Chris
you go.
Davis.
K-H-R-I-S.
K-H-R-I-S.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Kyle.
Craig Kimbrell agreed to a minor league deal with the Atlanta Braves. If he gets promoted to the big league club, he's going to make $2 million, according to Jeff Passan. Kimbrell, of course, you know, potential Hall of Fame type relief pitcher, but not coming off a good season. Had a 5.33 ERA and six blown saves for the Orioles and was designated for assignment last September. Career-wise, though, 2.59 ERA, 440 career saves, 37 years old. Don't know if he's got anything left in the tank, but the Braves are going to give it a try. Would not expect to see him in that opening series against the Padres yet, as he's just reporting.
Just ramping up?
Now. Yeah, the Braves will be missing some of their key guys. Spencer Strider looked great in his first spring action the other day.
Dude, he looked better than great.
What, he struck out six of the eight guys he faced?
He was.
Yep, those quads are still firing.
He is filthy.
But Padres will not have to face him in the opening series. Ronald Acuna Jr., they also will not have to face in the opening series. So they're catching the Braves, at least without all of their pieces in this first series of the season next weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And that's you got to figure out a way to beat Chris Sale on opening day. So that'll be fun.
All right, we've got 1 hour left. Molly's got some headlines for us in the Rindle Report. When we come back, our biggest fan announcement, just 3 days left to win your spot in our Odyssey suite for an upcoming Padres game this season. Stay tuned for that and more with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.